Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is our monthly review slash state of the podcast show. I'm Pokey and I'll be your host for today. Joining me today, however, is the illustrious Ken Fallon.
Good afternoon.
And Klaatu.
Hi, everyone.
As usual, we're going to start off with the review of last month's shows, and then we've got some other topics to head into. The state of the podcast this month is going to be pretty important. So if you don't normally listen to this whole show, go ahead and fast forward through the reviews of the shows if you're not interested in that. But we'd like you to at least stick around for the state of the podcast, because we think this month is going to be some pretty important topics that we're going to be covering.
Groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah, some pretty exciting stuff, actually, too, in addition to being pretty important. And we need you for that. Everyone who's listening, we need you for that. So we're going to get started with the review part now, and fast forward if you don't like that part. Try skipping forward to about 23 minutes and 20 seconds or so if you don't want to hear the monthly review part of the show.
Shall I begin?
Sure, Ken.
I think the last episode was the community news, of course, and then we had a GNU Emacs series Klaatu, which has got a lot of feedback. That was episode one. And we have the man himself on. I'm afraid to say, Klaatu, I'll never switch to Emacs.
You only say that because you haven't given it a fair try. You're supposed to do all the exercises in that show and be converted.
Yes, I'll do my best. I'll give it a try sometime. It's on my list right after clearing up my shed and all the other things I have on the list. The following day was one of the ones that we got the most feedback on, was the Patrick Volkerdink Slackware Linux chats with Klaatu.
Excellent show. Oh, excellent.
Absolutely brilliant. I put a post on my blog about this one, about, you know, this is the perfect example of a HPR show. Not because, like, the audio was a bit dodgy and there was people walking in and out and, you know, went way off topic and there was a bit of tech there and it went various different. But for me, if you like that show, you like HPR. If you didn't like it, well, you're going to have to pick and choose your episodes.
I thought that was so cool because, much like Slackware, which if you don't know, Patrick Volkerdink is the guy who created and runs and manages Slackware. Much like Slackware, it seemed intimidating. I would have thought that approaching a guy like Patrick Volkerdink would be real intimidating and real scary. And he just sounded like the coolest guy in the world. And that's kind of like what Slackware is. It's really like the coolest distro in the world. But its reputation is, you know, that of a much more difficult to use distro. But it's really cool.
Yeah, but that's kind of like Linux in general, I think. I mean, I know that when I'm at festivals and conventions and stuff, I always get nervous about talking to that maintainer of whatever, you know, program that I use. And then the next thing you know, you're talking to them and you're just hanging out with someone whose application you use on a daily basis. And you think, this has literally changed my life, but here I am just talking to this person. I've always liked that about Linux.
And if you haven't been to any of the festivals, it's an absolute thing that you must do this year. Try and find a festival local to you and chalk it in. And then bring a recorder and record us some shows.
Nice plug. Yeah, they're popping up everywhere these days. So yeah, it is a must-do experience.
Okay, enough about that. Let's move on to Should Cars Get Smarter by Satie. And this was a cool one because he had promised to send in this episode and took him a while to get around to it, destination, I guess. But it's amazing how much has changed in that single year. So the following day we had Packaging for Your Distro by Mike Hengley. Anyone hear this?
I was fascinated with this one.
Yeah, me too. I thought this was a really great episode, actually. Really cool stuff. Good information in it.
And it seemed like such a good idea. We have all these application stores and repos and all the rest of it. Why not put a repo there and you just apt-get a book? Or yum install, Count of Monte Cristo or whatever. Just fascinating idea. Yes, of course we should do that. And Then we had the following day GNU Emacs 2, and then we had Sam Tuck from the Free Software Foundation Europe, who I actually need to contact again. He sent me an email, follow-up email about that, about the work what of the Free Software Foundation Europe are doing over here for us.
I don't remember what they mentioned. They mentioned some big campaign that they'd done that I'd even heard of, and he mentioned that it wasn't even from the Free Software Europe group. It was like just one of their sort of like little, you know, one of the groups there sort of claiming FSFE affiliation, but that it grew into like this big, much bigger project. So it was a really great interview. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say I've liked all of your interviews that you've done from over there. They've all been really interesting and really enjoyable.
Well, there's more to come. Believe me, there's more to come. And then we had Mr. Gadgets coming in with the pre-micro computer tech in the home, number 2. Any of you guys ever have experience of the Golden Book of Chemistry experiments and chemistry sets like he was on about?
No, but it was great to hear about.
It was really cool. No, I didn't know about the Golden Book of Chemistry. However, in some of his later shows, he was talking about electronics kits, and I did have a few of those.
Yeah, I would have loved, I will say loved stuff, but alas, I didn't have that when I was a kid.
Okay. No, chemistry sets are hard to come about nowadays because there's so much stuff they know about chemistry now that they didn't realize, you know, just vapors and explosive compounds, and you know, God forbid our kids become terrorists with the chemistry set. So it's just you can't get away with the same stuff anymore.
Yes, exactly.
Not to mention when you were done with that stuff, everybody just dumped it down the toilet. That's probably pretty bad too.
I'm just reminded of some stuff we did when the teacher left our chemistry class, but anyway, best not to say that on the air. The following day, we had the Source Trunk on Cloud episode, which is syndicated Thursday, obviously. And I don't know if you subscribe to Dimitri's show at all.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, yeah. That's literally one of my favorite shows. It was, yes. I think, probably my first podcast I ever heard, actually.
He's really good about putting out really, really quality content on a fairly infrequent schedule. So
yeah,
when that music starts playing, because I don't look at my podcasts in the morning, I just kind of throw them all in a folder and hit play on my way out the door. And when that music comes on his, it's like opening a Christmas present.
Yeah, I love the feeling.
Yeah, same here.
And I love his beer review.
Me too, and I don't even drink beer. Never. And I can't stand other people's beer reviews. Like on other shows when they do them, I'm just like, I don't care. Well, no, it's not what you're. But anyway, I like his beer reviews, and I don't drink.
Yeah, his beer review is the inspiration for that little segment in the book club.
It's yes, I think it's brilliant, and he reviewed OpenCloud as well, which is something I think I'd like to install and play around with. And the following day, we had another of Seti's FSCon's interviews. He was talking about customized blue books, which was kind of interesting. Pity we need it, but it seems like a good idea. GNU Parallels as well, and some shameless plugs. So, go on.
I don't remember this one specifically. I remember enjoying it a lot, but I don't remember the specific topics, except for GNU Parallel, which was really, really cool. That sounded really awesome. Now, he said that did he say that was in the kernel now, or was going into the kernel soon? I forget now.
I can't remember.
I can't go into the kernel.
No, it's shipping it.
Yeah. I don't know if it's shipped yet, or you know, I don't know where it is, but
I think all it does is it just utilizes different threads in the kernel, so it should everything needed to do it should be there. And the customizable school books was about where you would modify a chapter of a book.
You take the Creative Commons stuff.
And you modify the chapter, and if somebody has if it's an auditive who learns through auditive, you would put in audio sections in there, and if it's a visual person, you draw pictures in there, and then bit by bit the book improves, and that you have 15 different versions of it doesn't really matter, because the child, you know, if you do it for that type of child in one school, then it's available other places because of the Creative License associated with a lot of work.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I love stuff like that. I just think that's where things need to go, you know, that kind of collaboration and participation.
Yeah, I do remember that now. That one did kind of touch a nerve with me because back in school, and in a good way, back in school, I could not read a textbook. I had to learn what the teacher was saying on the chalkboard, drawn on the chalkboard, and what they were saying, or I wasn't going to get it. I'd have to go for extra help because to sit down and read a textbook just did not work for me. It was like a round peg in a square hole. It never worked.
And I mean,
I read those things cover to cover, but I just hated them all. They were just so badly written. I remember distinctly thinking, this is not worth reading. I really did not like my school books.
Cool. And then the following day, we had Emacs Part 3, The Reckoning, where Klaatu forces us to use Emacs.
How could you have slipped through my fingers, though?
It's because I also hate using VI, but I have to use it.
I laughed my tail off at the beginning of that show, Klaatu. Your intro to that was hilarious.
I recorded it so long ago, I don't remember what that was, but I'll go listen to it again.
You were talking about how proud you were of everyone, or actually, just me, how proud you were of me for coming along and being so good that I'm nearly a Emacs master. That was brilliant.
We had, Kevin Grenade, who is a new host. We haven't welcomed our new host yet, who gave us a breakdown on TFTP.
I loved this episode. Yeah, so good.
This was hard.
I knew you'd like this one, Klaatu.
I mean, this is great. This is stuff, I mean, he sounded like he knew what he was talking about, and, you know, it's just really good information, and the nitty-gritty stuff about it is just so cool.
And I saw the packets in my head. I saw the headers.
It was very good. It was very good. And when I was listening to it, I remembered, Klaatu, I remembered your, was it HTTP protocol show that you did?
Yeah, yeah.
And I could just picture you listening to this and someone knocking on your office door and just going, go away, go away.
Yeah, exactly. This is exactly what I wanted to be doing, but he's done it so well.
It puts me to shame. Puts us all to shame. Anyway, the next day we had a Tony Hughes from FreeCycle, which is another interview I did at our camp. And Tony, actually, from the interview, was busy selling the mugs and stuff and selling the t-shirts for the guys to raise some cash. And, I was plugging everybody for, do an interview, come on, HPR, record a show, it's easy peasy. And then he just comes out and gives me this interview about all the stuff that they've done and Software Freedom Day and Blackpool, Liverpool and everything. It's just a gem.
He sounded like a really fun guy. I'd like to go fishing with him.
Absolutely, the salt of the earth. Met so many nice people there. It's amazing, actually. And then the following day, we had Robin Gatling with the Open Tech Conference, with some interviews with there, and good old Les Pounder as well. And it's amazing. I had spoken to Les Pounder the whole time through Odd Camp and never twigged that he was the same guy who was on the Full Circle podcast.
I also strongly believe he's the Wing Commander.
I can neither confirm nor deny that. I don't actually know who the Wing Commander was. I thought the Wing Commander was Tony.
I'm pretty sure it's Robin. You can hear his voice is real. Like, I don't know for sure. I'm only, I'm half a world away from the guy. Mm-hmm. But his voice, I'm accusing him. He's the Wing Commander.
I'll have to listen and give my opinion next month. Then we had new host, Delta Ray. Well, with a show on desktop transparency, no less. This was interesting.
I liked this a lot. It was like oral history of sort of Linux. And I mean, I don't know if, how much, I mean, like he says himself, it could be true. It could just be his impression. It's kind of like hard to really say, but that's what history is anyway. So this was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's exactly what history is. So it's completely legitimate in my view, and it was really excellent. It was fun to listen to, and it's we need more of that And he tricked me too when he came on and said desktop transparency. I was thinking, you know, this was going to be a lesson in how in kind of like political transparency came about to, you know, free software and open source software. So I was like, oh, I've heard this before. Do I really need to listen to it a 20th time? And then it was, you know, literally how, you know, your windows are transparent on your desktop. And it really was cool. It was fascinating.
And what's cool is he, in the show notes, he has the actual image of that, you know, fake background that the guy took and posted on the news.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Speaking of which, we're trying to, I don't know if you're looking at the show notes on the website recently, we're trying to add more HTML images and, you know, links and stuff so that we flesh it out a bit for people watching. And then add Tlatu with Publican, a user-friendly Perl front-end to DocXML. And I swore to myself that day, come out of work, and I had spent, basically been doing a lot of testing XML recently over the weekends and everything, and I was going, oh my God, I do not want to hear this. But nonetheless, it was very excellent episode, and I'm actually interested in looking at the book XML format.
Yeah, it was interesting. You've convinced me if I ever write anything down, I should use that.
Let me tell you, I convinced myself, because just the other, well, it must have been a couple of weeks now, but I was doing something and I thought, this is just one thing, it's going to be simple. And wouldn't you know, like the next day, some people were asking me, oh, I want a copy of that, can you give it to me? And I'd written it very specifically in, like, I think it was plain text or something, and they wanted it, like, with all the screenshots and stuff like that. And I was like, man, if I'd done that in DocBook, I could have just exported it to PDF and sent it to them. And so, yeah, from now on, I don't use anything else, but...
Yeah, how do I open a .txt? What is this, Klaatu?
Well, they wanted the pictures in line, so...
Oh, right.
And then we had Mr. Gadgets again with GIFs, GIF Guide for Electronic Engineers of the Future. And I want to apologize to Mr. Gadgets for not putting up the show links with the show notes. I'm really, really sorry. He has been stepping up the pace, sending in episodes. I don't know if you've noticed. And the reason is not to take over the network. He's doing it because he's heard me ask for show submissions, and he's kind of filling in for other people who would otherwise have not done it.
And I'm going to, may I take this opportunity to remind people that you can call in shows just like Mr. Gadgets is doing. He's just picking up his phone. He's dialing the number that you can find on the website. And when he's done recording, he presses pound. So his show gets put in our queue and gets posted. I don't know if anybody's tried to call in a show and forgot to hit pound. If you don't hit pound at the end of that recording, it doesn't go in. But it's very easy to call that in, and I'm sure you've enjoyed his shows as much as we all have. So if you're holding back on recording a show because it seems too hard, or because you're real picky about sound quality, his is just coming in over the phone, and it's still very listenable and very worthwhile. It's the content. It's what's in his head that he's sharing with us that we're all listening to and enjoying. And you've got the same thing. So, you know, that's my sales pitch right now. Please call in a show if you can't record one and send one in another way.
Do that. And be afraid that it's going to go on the air straight away. We probably won't do that. If you wanted to send us send an email out saying to edit out something or edit out coughing or whatever, then we're more than happy to do that. That's not an issue. So if you find the whole concept of recording a show online over the telephone, you know, doing it live on air, which is actually what he's doing, you know, he's speaking on the phone and it's going to go out live. If you find that a bit daunting, then just press record on your MP3 player and send us in that file. Okay, the following day we had Emacs Console by JWP. JWP I met as well at OGCamp. Very, very nice gentleman. And he was essentially by Tattoo's episode to give us some Emacs Console stuff. And while I was talking to him, I discovered that he does the vast majority of his computing in the text console. email, RSS, all the rest of that stuff. So I'm hoping to get more shows from him on that.
I've always liked shows.
I'm a big fan of JWP. I find his voice and his tone and his pace very, very easy to listen to. Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
So the following day was the Count of Monte Cristo. And it was a syndicated Thursday. And what do you think of that, by the way?
I don't know. I haven't heard it yet.
It was pretty. It wasn't bad. I mean, it was drastically abridged from the story that I remember sloughing through in high school.
And the links to that are in. Sorry, when we say that, the links to the Count of Monte Cristo, both the book, which is out of copyright, to the Revox project where they have recorded a book word for word, straight through, unabridged. They're all in the show notes. And what frustrated me about this show was that it was published in 1938. That's 1938, and it is still under copyright.
Yeah, how did we get away with that?
Because they, at least in fairness, had the decency to put it up under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 license. So...
Oh, excellent.
Well, excellent, except I had to take the ad out, so there was no advertisement at the end of that show, and I wasn't allowed to edit or trim or modify it in any way. So I was extremely annoyed about it. Not that they... I'm really glad that they put it up, of course, but I thought that there was a lot of radio drama that, you know, might get people inspired to do some radio drama. I think Lost in Bronx would be happy with me doing that, but... it was a bit sad and depressing, you know, to think that there will never be a work in our lifetime that will come out of copyright. Bit sad and depressing.
Well, that's why there's new stuff. Yeah, but that's why there's new stuff that is already Creative Commons being created right now. That's the way I see it.
It's the only way forward, really.
Yeah.
And then we had the second show from Delta Ray, who, by the way, Delta Ray, I don't have your email address, but I suspect you're Delta Ray on Identica, and if so, I love your command line tip series.
Yeah, that's the same
guy.
Are
you sure?
Yeah, I met him at Indiana Linux Fest.
Oh, fantastic. Super, super. And going on about computer memories, Apple Lisa, TS-80, Commodore 120, and Amiga 2000. Very nice show as well.
Fun show. I'm about halfway through it. I haven't heard all of it, but the first half has been a lot of fun.
So that's it, news roundup. I got the apologies in. Welcome the new host. So I think my work here is done. Take it over.
Well, that brings us right into the community news, and that's probably our primary topic this week is folks. Ken's work here is done. He's stepped up. He has revived Hacker Public Radio from the point that it was almost dead and almost gone. And he's pulled in more hosts, new hosts, than I can count, and more people have come back to host than I can even count. I mean, what, probably 50, 60 new hosts since Ken stepped up and revived Hacker Public Radio. However, and I want to be clear, this is not me, you know, saying this in a derogatory way. This is, you know, at Ken's request here. Hacker Public Radio is not Ken's project. And it should not fall solely into Ken's hands to run it, which he has picked up the slack and done that because no one else has shown up. And we need folks to show up and do what Ken has been doing. He's would it be fair, Ken, to say you're burnt out at this point?
Well, the reason I took on the job is because I wanted to get the shows flowing again. And, I mean, I have series for Hacker. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still more than happy to post the shows every day and help out and go to shows and do interviews. But there are also HPR that I promised people to do and haven't done. You know, pointing a satellite dish, the completion of my Bash programming series. I also want to do an introduction to Perl programming series. And I find a lot of my time is recording other shows as fillers, you know, urgent shows, rather than the ones where you can take a month to do your study and your background work and prepare the script and what you need to do a complete show. So basically, I'm also a bit afraid of being referred to HPR as being Ken's thing, because I'm just host number whatever 36 or whatever I am, and there are other people listening to this. You right there, you. This is your network. You have as much right to be on here, putting on shows, running community news as I have.
Not just right, but responsibility. Folks, it is our responsibility, all of us, to make Hacker Public Radio work. If you love Hacker Public Radio, please help us out with it. That's why it's here, because people love it. And, you know, I mean, if you don't love it, that's another thing. You know, help us out, because we could use the help. Be a decent person about it. It would be great. But if you love Hacker Public Radio, if you're that person, this is yours. Come take it. Get your hands on it. Be part of it. We need Hacker Public Radio to become more of a community in order for it to survive. Right now, it seems like a very federated thing. Is that the right word? Where it's everyone seems to be like an island among themselves, and we just kind of dump them on Hacker Public Radio. But it's time that we kind of bring the community together. More collaboration behind the scenes and more participation from the people who care about it. And the first thing is, of course, we need more shows to come in. Ken and Klaatu have done probably more shows this year. Each of them has done more shows than any other two people put together. Mr. Gadgets has stepped up and filled in a lot. You know, you can only put out so many shows in a year, each person. But for the guy who's listening now, who hasn't done any, we really could use your help. We really need your help.
How would someone be more involved in the community other than just submitting a show? Like, can people just email like admin@hackerpublicradio.com and say, hey, I'll do the community news this month? Or like, what are some ways that people can get involved?
Absolutely, we've got a load of ways that you can help. Let's just run down through some of the things that you can do. First of all, you can join the mail list involved over there. Second of all, you can do promotion on other podcasts. Now, some people might not want to actually do podcasting. Getting in front of a microphone might be embarrassed that you're not knowledgeable enough, or that you're that you speak your native language is in English or whatever. You can always suggest show topics. You can send us in articles and we will read them out for you. Don't have a problem doing that. We'll do text to speech on them, or we'll narrate them. You can represent HPR at shows, at events, line up interviews for other people, do artwork, do stickers. Involved in the redesign of the website, we're in the WordPress side of it. I could go on. There's a list. We can put a list together of stuff that would be useful.
I just want to comment on something you said there. You said that maybe if someone's first language is not English, to me that's no excuse, because as an English speaker, and I'm going to speak for all English-speaking people here whose first language is English, we love accents. We love to hear people who have learned our language and speak it in an accent. It's the coolest thing in the world. So even if you don't think you can do that, if that's the only thing holding you back, please, you know, we love accents. That's no excuse.
Yeah, I mean, Ken's first language isn't English. Or it doesn't sound like it.
Oh, thank you very much, Klaatu. Actually, it is.
Oh, darn it!
So, in there's things, you know, behind the scene. If you can code, we need your help with the website. If you want to moderate, if that's the kind of thing that you can do, we really need help. And Ken, the website is going through some changes behind the scene right now.
Yeah, we're going to again. If I don't want to, I want to make it clear that I'm not going away or anything. I just would prefer not to be as in front of everybody as I have been over the last year. And actually, in any community, in the Debian community, in the Fedora community, the cycle through I don't know, the people at the front, they whatever you want to call them. And I think we need to do that here in HPR if we're to be taken seriously as a community network, which is,
yeah, I agree.
I think what we need. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be splitting the two things. For security reasons, we're going to be trimming down the content management system that actually does the RSS feed and does the show submitting, and we're going to try and automate that as much as possible. And then we're going to be moving everything over to a WordPress instance running on Hacker Public Radio. So if you already want to go to hobbypublicradio.org, you can see what we have in mind. And we'll be trying to move that over the holiday period or shortly afterwards.
So this Hobby Public Radio site is based on WordPress,
yes,
correct?
Yes, and it's just taken the enhanced feed, you know, with the HTML embedded in that feed, and it displays it up on the screen so that they're, from a point of view, they're two completely separate zones in there, and the users are, the hosts are automatically created. We've got all the WordPress goodness. We've got the calendar there on the right-hand side if you want to go back and say, ooh, what date was, you know, there was something last Thursday, and you click on Thursday and you'll be able to see the show. You know, so we'll be able to get all the nice things like they, you know, those cloud tag things where you have the most common words in bigger letters, that sort of thing. And we'll probably try to get into things like, you know, better tagging and stuff on the episodes so that we can make it a little bit nicer for everybody concerned.
So essentially, Hobby Public Radio is Hacker Public Radio's website 2.0 beta. And that's the other thing we need right now is some beta testers. We need some people to come over to Hobby Public Radio and help out with that, whether that's just feedback, and you can tell us what you think of it, just testing stuff out to see if it works. Because, am I right, Ken? Hobby Public Radio is just, the name is going to change. It'll become Hacker Public Radio, and that's what we'll be working with at some point from that point
on.
And
we'll be setting Hobby Public Radio to be the same as Hacker Public Radio, and we'll do a search, an Apache search and replace for wherever you see Hobby, it'll put in, wherever it sees Hacker, it'll put in Hobby. And the reason for that being, if people are caught behind firewalls and they don't want to go to Hacker Public Radio, then Hobby Public Radio will come up.
So it'll be a very, very, very close mirror of Hacker Public Radio, just without the word Hacker in it. So it's work friendly.
Yeah, so if you see Hacker, it'll be Hobby, which might make things look a bit odd, but...
But it's a great little hack.
Or a hobby. So, yes, that's it. I just thought of another thing people could do is, like, we need taglines. Hacker Public Radio, your podcasting network. I don't know. You know, some of these cool one-liners will describe HPR, because some of the shows I've had difficulty explaining what it is, the community podcast network. Oh, it's a network that you do for your community. No, it's your network. So, one-liners, if you're good at producing one-liners, send them all in. All this stuff, admin@hackerpublicradio.org, goes to everybody who basically wants to be on the admin team.
Or just send it to the mailing list, I imagine, because that way we could bounce the ideas off of everyone.
That's far
on the
better.
Mailing list.
Thank you, Clatu.
And, and now we discussed also, Ken, that you were looking to kind of step back from being the mouthpiece and the community manager type position of Hacker Public Radio, and we're looking for someone to fill that spot. Now, I personally would like to nominate Dan Washko for that, because I think he's such a good community leader. He does a really good job at that. But, you know, that of course doesn't mean that that's him. But you know, just we're looking for someone to do that, just to let Ken slide back a little bit from the position that he's taken up of doing everything that nobody else has done. We got to get some load off of Ken's shoulders for him.
What exactly would this community manager person do? What's the job description,
get
more or less?
In.
Yeah, get
oh,
people...
like bug people to
yep.
submit shows.
Well, bug people to submit shows and then write your own job description, because, I mean, we're trying to change things up a little bit and make it more of a community situation, more community driven, so that that person, you know, taking that spot would be more like a cheerleader than a leader of a group of people, because that's not what we're looking for, and that's not the feeling that we have ever tried to put out. Is that about right?
Yeah, sounds good to me. But then again, just remember, Myself, Plateau, Pokey, nobody's going away. We're all going to be still here. But I think in order for it to be more of a community thing, we need more community involvement. Simple as that, I guess.
Absolutely. And there's some stuff in the works in the new website to make happen, right, Ken? Some tools
that
are going there?
We'll do our best to... Well, first thing, let's get it moved over. Let's get the process of posting the shows down so we're not in, you know, 20 gigs of stuff down to people. And then, you know, we can... It's up then to the WordPress team, whoever they may be. If you've got WordPress experience and want to admin a WordPress site, then it's up to you guys to, you know, take it and run with it, basically. And then I'm happy to go back to, you know, checking the shows, making sure everything's going on in the background, liaising with the BinRev dudes. And then going back to doing my one show a month where, you know, I have the time to do the in-depth stuff. That it's been on kind of the back burner for the last year.
So, sorry, Clatu, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I, for one, am very excited about the new website. I think the less of a sense that there's like a bottleneck, and that bottleneck is this guy named Ken or this guy named Enigma or whoever, you know, it's just like, oh, here's the site that we're all participating in. I think that's a really good thing.
And if anyone has any suggestions on how we can facilitate that, then yes, want to hear.
Or we want you to do it. If you're capable of making that change, you know, come on and make that change for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, shall we move on to the next topic? I think we've done this one to death.
Sure.
The as it's the last month, we're already into December. I would like, you know, people to send in their suggestions for the, you know, the best, their best feeling of HPR. Send it in, or we'll arrange for a roundtable that you can join here on Mumble next month.
Yeah. So if you've got any suggestions for, you know, a community type topics, or you want to talk about, you know, how good some show was, you know, or you got suggestions for how you'd like to see things go in the future, or if you've never participated in Hacker Public Radio before and you'd like to not have to do it on your own and you want to join in, you know, with a group of people who have already done it, who can walk you along your first time, that's going to be an excellent time for you to come and try to do that.
Perfect. So we'll put out some in the mailing list and on the website, and probably add it to a few shows when we're going to do that and where we're going to do that. And also, I was thinking of reviving a tradition that Chess Griffin had some time back, where he would ask people to donate to causes, and, you know, if they sent him in a receipt, that he would send them a DVD of it, which would be no thing. I was thinking of reviving that here. Now, obviously, we're not going sending out a DVD of our shows, because they wouldn't fit on the DVD to start. But we will give you a shout out on the community news section next month. So, just get people to donate to some FLOSS or open sourcey type organizations over the holiday period.
Hey, you're cutting in and out a bit there, Ken, so I'm just going to go over it one more time. What we're talking about here is financial contributions. If you want to make a financial contribution to a free software project or an open source project, and you want to give us some sort of proof, we're not looking for names and credit card numbers, just something so we know we're not being, you know, BS'd, we'll be more than happy to give you a shout out and give you your props on next month's show.
Might even send you over a sticker. You can find some.
Ken says he's still got some stickers left. He may be the only guy in the world to have any stickers left.
And let's do that. So I think that pretty much, as my microphone falls off my microphone stand, I think pretty much rounds it up for this month.
Cool.
So, Ken, thank you very much for all the work that you've done out front for Hacker Public Radio, for reviving it, for bringing it back. HPR is truly something that I love, and it's bringing it back to life the way that you've done has been a great gift to me personally. So personally, I say thank you. And from the community, I say thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, but no thanks needed. As I say, I am going to continue on working on HBR, so there's no change there. It's just we need more people contributing and more different people. Like, this feel of a community into HBR. But thank you.
And other than that, I think that probably wraps up our show for today. Klaatu and Ken, thanks for joining me. Ken, thanks for walking me through how to do a monthly review show. That was great. Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever I'm missing, and a Happy New Year. And I hope that everyone does have a great New Year. And I hope that everyone submits their show for 2011 before it's too late, and starts thinking about submitting a show for 2012. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HBR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.